party will be on July 23rd from 4 p.m. to 8 p.m. The Nelson Atkins Museum is at 425 Oak Street, KCMO. For more information on these and many other events in our area, go to kkfi.org/artskcgo.
Hello, my name is Barbara Bain, and you are listening to Every Woman on 90.1 FM KKFI, Kansas City Community Radio.
The views and opinions of this program are those of its host and guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of 90.1 FM, KKFI, Midcoast Radio Project, or its staff and volunteers.
About it is appealing, everything the traffic will allow. Nowhere could you get that happy feeling when you are stealing that extra bow. There's no people like show people. They smile when they are low. Yesterday they told you you would not go far. That night you open and there you are. Next day on your dressing room they costumes, the scenery, the makeup, the props, the audience that lifts you when you're down. The headaches, the heartaches, the backaches, the flops, the sheriff who escorts you out of town. The opening when your heart beats like a drum. The closing when the customers don't come. Get word before the show has started that your favorite uncle died at dawn. On top of that, your pa and ma have parted. You're brokenhearted, but you go on. There's no people like show people. They smile when they are low. Even with a turkey that you know will fold, you may be stranded out in the cold. Still, you wouldn't change it for a sack of gold. Let's go on with the show. Let's go on with the show.
Well, hello to all of you out there. Hello and welcome to this edition, the Independence Day Eve. That's confusing, isn't it? Edition of the KKFI Arts Magazine Show. I am Michael Hoag, your host. Glad to have you with us on this Monday. We're back to the hot weather again. We had a day or two of moderation out there. Looks like it's going to be warm.
Oh, no.
Lots of banging going on out there. And as usual, I heard Dr. Mike mention this, and I'm going to mention it too. The animals get a little afraid, some of them, especially if they're young, if they're not used to hearing this. So don't let it go on too late. I mean, it keeps children awake, as Brittany Holmes reported out on her Twitter. She was complaining about their neighborhood and that the kids were being kept awake by all the banging.
Yeah.
So you just have to have Patrick go out there with a football and challenge him. You know, if you can throw it further than me,
right,
you can keep
just knock him out of the sky.
That's right.
Start blowing up.
Just knock him out of the sky. That's right. Hope you have a safe and sane, don't take too many chances, Independence Day holiday out there today. And remember all the things I told you. We've been talking, and the last week or so we've been talking about Fringe is coming. I believe it starts July the 14th, and we've had a couple of shows where we talk to people about that. The big gathering here at the radio station, for my show at least, is next Monday the 10th, when Audrey Crabtree herself will be bringing some people along. And however many come, I'm going to try my dead level best to zoom through and get them all to talk about their show and when their show can be attended by you out there and everything like that. But today, let's see, Zach Faust got on the
I got on the early train.
He got on the early train.
That train's going anywhere.
So he'll have a little more time here today. Zach is the writer and director and executive artistic director of Faust Theater.
Ooh.
Yeah, they are located down at the Arts Asylum, the new Arts Asylum.
Yes.
You had to move out of Northeast. Well, not really. It's northeast of downtown.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. We're at now.
That's where it was.
Yes. Now we're at 824 East Meyer Boulevard, which is in the same building that A to Z is right out of. So we're just in the basement quadrant of it is what I would like to say that is what that's called.
Okay. The Prejudice and Pride people, I don't think gave real good directions.
Sure.
I mean, I tried to prompt them.
Sure.
But maybe you can do better.
Oh, man. I don't. I mean, I don't.
Okay.
I don't know if I can.
What is the big intersection? 63rd Street.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. There's 63rd, that Brookside area with the Price Chopper and the Messenger Coffee is right over there. Or the Roastery Coffee is right over there. And we're just literally right down the street from that. There's a McDonald's across the street.
So if they want to go to Brookside first,
yeah,
and then go, would it be east on 63rd Street?
Yeah, east on 63rd.
Best from there.
Yeah.
Where do they turn? Where do they go to park? Stuff like that.
Well, you can go. Then you just turn right on the Meyer Boulevard.
Okay.
Take a left right
good,
on Meyer
good.
Boulevard, and then you can park literally in the giant parking lot that they offer.
And it used to be, I knew this, you said it before.
It's A to Z. A to Z Theatrical still runs out of it.
Okay.
And it actually, I think it used to be an old synagogue. Many
years you're right.
Ago. Yeah. Many
years
ago.
I went to someone's memorial service there.
Yeah.
Years ago.
Yeah. And then it was in A to Z, and then Arts Asylum has a theater in there now.
That's where Zach's Fringe show Gleequel.
Yeah.
A sequel, a parody sequel. Lest no one get all excited. A parody sequel. He's not doing Glee. He's doing a parody of Glee.
Parody of Glee.
Did that last time. This one is the sequel, so it's called Gleequel.
Yeah. First one was Gleesical, which was Glee the musical, and then this one is Gleequel, Glee the sequel.
Yeah. It begins on Saturday the 22nd. If I get any of these wrong, you just jump in there.
Okay.
I just copied down what I saw online.
You know, you can believe everything on the internet. Don't worry about it.
I have learned from personal experience, you can't believe anything.
What are you talking about? Come on.
You can't believe anything that's out there. The first performance is Saturday, late afternoon, 4:30 p.m.
Mm-hmm.
on July 22nd.
Yep.
Then Wednesday the 26th at 6 o'clock p.m.
Mm-hmm.
Thursday the 27th, 6 o'clock p.m.
Mm-hmm.
Friday the 28th, also at 6 o'clock p.m., as well as Saturday the 29th at 6 o'clock p.m. Do you like being that early? Would you rather be later in the day?
I think it's out of convenience because we have 19 actors in this show, and so many of them, I mean, they're all so freaking talented. And the fact that they all agreed to come and do the show, I was over the moon for. First off, to find 19 actors to do the show is insane already. But the fact that they were all like, yeah, we're all in other shows, but we'll also commit to doing this show. And so to try and schedule everybody around that, the like caveat was like, I can get you guys out early or I can do a later performance. And so the 6 o'clock is like, and the 4:30 even has been really easy versus what we did last year or the last time we did the show, which was we had a performance at 10:30, we had a performance at 5, we had a performance at 7, you know, it was just kind of a random hodgepodge, which is really what Fringe is. But this one has been like, we have a set schedule, we're all gonna do 6 o'clock to 7 o'clock, and then we can all go party out afterwards, or you guys can go to your show. Do whatever you really want to, you know.
Yeah. Is there another show in the Arts Asylum later that night? That's the way Fringe works.
Yeah.
There's early shows, there's later shows, there's in between shows.
Right. I could be so wrong on who is in the space and at what time.
Oh.
And I don't want to speak on that. Other than I know Julie Ewing has a show that's going to be in there in that space, and it's a musical as well. And I, for the life of me, cannot remember what it is, but she's a really dear friend. She's very, very smart.
Probably director. Not anymore. Since you can't remember.
Right, exactly. No, I'm so sorry, Julie, if you're listening to this and I cannot remember what the name of your
so
show is.
So there's a possibility she has a show after yours.
Either, yes.
But it's a different admission and all of that.
Yes, all of it's different. Her musical is going to be very, very different than our. I know what the theme of the show is and I know the material. I just cannot remember the name of it. And I'm so sorry. They even had a whole Fox 4, like, you know, they did a whole thing
on
this.
And good for her.
I know, and I watched it, and I just can't remember it. But I can barely remember what I had for breakfast this morning, so I'm sorry, Julie.
That's the way it works during Fringe. You have staggered times for different shows, and it's quite crowded because they have a lot of shows going on.
Right. Well, when we did it the last time, I think, you know, we were selling out most of our performances. Even our, like, when we won Best of Venue that year, I mean, we pushed it for 12 hours and we sold, over 100 tickets to it. And there's only a half hour window between each performance. So, you know, if Gleequel ends at 7, the next performance starts at 7:30. And with a cast of 19 people, and we're only allotted to sell, I think, like 100 tickets or something like that to the show, you know, the space gets really crowded really, really quickly. So, good luck to everybody else is what I have to say. It's such a camaraderie of Fringe. And what I really like about it is, you know, the availability to have local performers and also people and entities from outside to be able to come experience what Kansas City and Kansas City, some Kansas City theater communities have to offer. Because I do think that it's such a different breed than anything else that the little town has to offer by way of theatrical entertainment. So it's cool. It's like its own little thing. And I'm excited to be back for it.
You're more fortunate than some groups. Some groups, like, there's 3, and in one instance, I think 4 people in one performing space. So they stagger the days and the times. Mm-hmm. And there's only 2 of you at the Arts Asylum.
No,
there's more.
Oh, I think there are more. I'm just saying there are more. I know. Julie was the only person I could remember that was in that space. Uh-huh. So everybody else that's in that space, I'm so sorry that I don't remember.
So they have branched out from Midtown area.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
That's how big it's getting, I guess.
Well, yeah, and I think if I'm not mistaken, that the Arts Asylum is the furthest away that anything that the rest of the venues are at. But I think just because the Arts Asylum produces really quality things and people love the Arts Asylum and they're willing to go down to that space for Fringe, you know, I'm excited that that we get an opportunity to showcase what we've got again, you know, because 9th and Holmes was easy to get to, you know, it was a really easy stop to get to with all of the others. And so I'm excited that people are willing to travel. And here's the thing, it's really not that far. But, you know, to some people that are like, Fringe is only in Midtown. It's like, well, no, actually Fringe could be anywhere and Fringe is going to be everywhere. So just come to our space. And I know that the people will. And because the Arts Asylum is such a loved entity.
Now, your performance last year was where you are now.
We didn't do last year. The last time we produced anything at Fringe was 2019. Are you talking about Heathers? You're talking about Heathers.
Oh, okay.
We did Heathers. Yes.
Well, I was thinking of the first Glee.
The first Glee was 2019, which is baffling to me. But yeah, when we did Heathers, which was last year, which is, I think, the last time you and I talked with each other, which is... fun. Yeah, we did it.
It was pre-COVID.
It was Gleesigal was pre-COVID and Heathers was post-COVID. We did that in the new space and it was a really fun adventure to be able to see what that new space has to offer. And
people have asked about why you and some others moved. Do you have a story?
Why I moved? Oh,
the building was sold.
The building was sold. And again, I don't know if I am knowledgeable enough to speak on this, and I don't want to get anything wrong, but I just, you know, I know that A to Z and the Arts Asylum have such a really wonderful working relationship, and I know that it was just the opportunity was there and they decided to take it, where they were like, well, we can own our own little theater and have a really great intimate space. And, you know, I do love that old space. I grew up, you know, a lot of my producing and theater came out of the old space, but you know, this new opportunity presented itself. And I think that everybody was just on board to go, yeah, we're going to take it and we're going to do what we can to maximize its potential. And I think that it's definitely on its way to being even greater than what it is now.
It seemed to be, well, you can disagree with me, and you may, it seemed to be an easy move for you. Rather rapidly, I heard news that you were moving down there. So I thought, good for him. and same story really with the Barn players who were in there. They went back to Johnson County.
They did, which, I mean, you know, I'm a big fan of the Barn, you know, big enjoyer of many of their productions. But for me specifically, my house was like right down the street from this new location. So I had no problem just, I could just walk to it. I don't live here anymore. So like, it's not necessarily that easy for me anymore. I have to like hop on a plane and get here. But it was really easy when they did their move and I was just available to be like, yeah, I'll just pop on over. Yes, it was an easy transition for me. And especially because I don't own any of the building, you know, I don't have any stake in the building, and the Arts Asylum owns, you know, Faust Theater. It's one of those things where it's like, wherever you guys are going, that's where we're going to be going.
That's where you're going to go.
I don't really have a choice anyway.
Your name is Faust.
My name is Faust.
They're thinking, yes, his name is Faust, and it's called Faust Theater.
Yeah.
But you don't actually own yourself.
I did at one point, and then when I moved away, I was like, but they still wanted to like keep producing things under the name, and it's an opportunity for me to come back and enjoy my family and enjoy my friends and produce theater here. They generously we merged together to be able to create, because they have been the biggest supporters of Faust Theater than anybody. And that's not to say that our supporters and our fan base and our audiences have just been some of the best and the most incredible audiences, but the Arts Asylum specifically has been such a big believer in what we do. And they are, if nothing else, just there to support and elevate and integrate what they can offer as a space, and they are a safe space for everybody. And I think that that is something that we don't have a lot of. And, you know, theater can be made in so many different interesting ways, and they are nothing if not just the best collaborators to go, yeah, you want to do this? Then why don't we do this? And the freedom to be able to have people that are on your side that just believe in that magic is truly a priceless thing.
Sure.
Yeah. So please come and, like, if you don't want to come see Glee Cool because you don't enjoy the TV show Glee, please go and see other things that the Arts Asylum will be doing. They're doing Bat Boy later this year, which is going to be so much fun. And they have so many other fringe shows that everybody will enjoy. But check out their new space. Check out who they are, because they are some of the best in the business here.
We're speaking with Zach Faust with Faust Theater. He is the writer and director of the show and the executive artistic director of Gleequel, a sequel to Glee. And Glee is a parody, of course, of the television show. You all know that. Let's go back. Time goes so fast.
Time's not real.
It's already a quarter after the hour.
Oh, my goodness.
So let's not beat around the bush anymore. What gave you the idea to do this parody the first time?
So when I watched the TV show for the first time, you know, when it first aired back in 2009, it was the show that, I mean, it was the show that I needed at the time that I needed it, that I didn't know that I needed. Because, you know, I was one of those kids, I was like, I'm a closet theater kid. Because I did sports growing up, but I really enjoyed being in the theater. It wasn't necessarily that I was doing it all the time. I did like a show a summer. And then this TV show came out where it was like, anybody can be whatever you want it to be. And I was like, well, I am this. Like, I connect with these characters on such a weird level. And, you know, and I think everybody probably has that show that they grew up with where they, you know, feel such a sense of that's my family right there, because I invite them into my home every week. And that really was what Glee was for me. So I wrote a little parody version of it that is way different than what it ended up being. And when I you know, about 10 years later, and I was like, oh, I own a theater company. Why don't I just do this? Because I need to honor this little show that I loved so much. And so I was able to rework it, and we put it up, and it took off so big, And the cast was so great to work with. And I loved being able to put these characters now in my own, like in my own world, and kind of create my own version of this, not necessarily making fun of it, but going, yeah, some of this stuff was ridiculous in this TV show, but also there's a lot to love about it. And so it was my little silly homage to the show that meant so much to me. It was a current way for me to give back to something that gave to me. And so this sequel version is even, it's just as wild. It makes fun of the show even more, because once the first season is over in that TV show, it just goes off the rails and there's a lot to make fun of. But I think it also has a lot more of what the show means to so many people and why it is so important to people. So while we do get to make fun of the show, there is a lot of it that is, you know, chill. It's a show about identity. And so when I was writing the second one, I was like, I really need to hit home that these teenagers don't know who they are. And even these adults and these teachers, like, none of these kids know who they are. They're going through this world that is telling them that they are not allowed to be a certain way. They are not allowed to love a certain person. They're not allowed to be anybody who they want to be. And I think even now, there's so much more relevance to, you know, issues like LGBTQ, issues and race issues and politics. And while the show, again, is just making fun of Glee, we're also sprinkling in the gravity that the show had and why it is still so beloved today, even though it is a very tone deaf, like, period piece, why it's so beloved. And I think showcasing in this one more of the gay characters and the trans characters, you know, there is so much more weight and there's so much more importance to this story, all while kids are praying to grilled cheeses and they are starting other glee clubs even though they're involved in different glee clubs, you know. And I don't know, that I felt that there was so much more importance to this one. While the first one was like, yeah, this is the first season and we're making fun of the first season and there's not a whole lot to it, this one is like, no, we're making fun of the show, but we're actually also like telling you why it's such an important piece, not just for like media as a whole, but for our company, because of what we, I think, specialize in and who we are and what we represent. And I think that we represent this underdog group of kids that, and people that just don't feel like that they have a home, or people that you don't see represented on the stages, or people, you know, like I have been, you know, I keep up with Kansas City Theater every once in a while. And, you know, there are places that are willing to start branching outside of the boxes, not just for, you know, quota's sake, but just for, you know, like, oh, we want to be an all opportune space and put these people, because like our audiences need to see, be reflected on the stages. And we have always been doing that, and we've been always trying to do that. And I think that that is just something that I wholeheartedly just believe in, is, you know, we as a community, regardless of if, you know, people don't want us to be that way, regardless of if, you know, we can say it out loud, but we don't actually want to do any of the work behind the scenes, I feel like we've always been the kind of group that just goes, we're all here and we're all going to die someday, so why don't we all just do this together? And, yeah, you know, and so that's why this story is even more important than the first one. And that's why it's really important to do it with the Art Asylum, because they also like this. That's who they are as well.
Did someone come to you at some point and said, why don't you do that again? And you probably thought about it.
Oh,
and,
yeah.
And I'm sure the idea came to you, well, why don't I just do a sequel?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, there are three. There are three that are planned, and I call it the Trilogy. I'd call it the Trilogy, but there is a third one planned. I don't know if it's actually going to happen. I would love for it to, because I'd love to come back the next summer and be able to like finish this out, to see these kids actually do something. But yeah, the Gleequel is where we're at now. Hopefully Gleenior year, where they all are ready to graduate, is, you know, coming up, but who knows. But yeah, it was just because we got such a big audience response. You know, we were the best of venue. Perform Inc. Kansas City listed us as their favorite show that they got to see. We got nominated for, you know, Broadway World Awards. If you want to tout those as like important here in Kansas City. You know, we had such a big response, and people were like, I want to see this again. I want to put this back on the stage. And I'm like, okay, well, I don't want to put this old one back on, but I'll do the second season. So yeah, so we just got such a big response that I was like, there's no way I can't. But 4 years later is a completely different world.
Sure. Well, it is. You know, it is even from there. We had COVID smacked in between.
Yeah, you
that,
know.
That changed a lot of things.
Yeah.
The answer is probably going to be no, but probably some of the same cast anyway.
So five of them are returning from the original one.
Oh, well, that's great.
Yeah.
With a four-year gap.
That was what I was concerned about, you know, when I was like, well, we'll come back. We'll do this again, you know, and putting 19 cast members. Because here's the thing. You also have to – Glee as a television show represented so many different groups of people. You know, you didn't just have these – straight white leads, you know, as most television shows and most teen television shows were, you know, like the lead of the show was Jewish, and there were Asian characters and Black characters and kids that were in wheelchairs, or you had leads that had Down syndrome. Like, there were so many groups represented in this television show that if we wanted to do a parody of this show, yes, we can make fun of it, but we have to at least get the casting correct. We have to at least represent these characters as they are formed. And on top of that, we also have character, you know, like Chris Colfer was Kurt in the TV show, but Jock Davidson, who does not look like Chris Colfer at all, and Spencer Rui, who's the alternate of Kurt, who also doesn't look like Kurt at all, you know, like they are represented of this character. But we were more interested in getting the spirit of the characters that didn't have to be a certain type, didn't have to be a certain background, like, but we needed to make sure that the characters that were presented as they were on the TV show had to carry over. So we do have five from the original one. We have Evan Phillips coming back as Sue Sylvester, who was hilarious in the first one. Jessica Arnold playing Emma Pillsbury. She was just a delight to work with and very, very talented in the role as well. Jock Davidson, who I mentioned earlier, is coming back to play Kurt. We have, now I'm forgetting some of these names who are coming back.
Oh, that's okay. You can't mention everything. You would like to, I'm sure, but
yes.
We don't have the time.
Right. And Zoe Lepper, who's coming back to play Santana, she's just one of the most talented actresses I've ever gotten to work with. And so the opportunity to get to work with her again on a character that is crafted for her has just been special. Oh, and Charlie Meacham, who is coming back to play Noah, who is just one of the most hilarious physical comedic actors I've ever worked with. So to be able to have this really incredible core group of people, while including so many others that I have loved working with in my past. Emma Jacobson, who was the lead of Heathers last year, is playing the Rachel character, and she's always just so much fun to watch. And Olivia House, who I worked with in Fiddler on the Roof with Evan years and years ago when we were on the stage together, and we all did Spelling Bee, Putnam County Spelling Bee, years and years ago. She's coming to play Will. So to be able to put them back in a room together to watch Will and Sue, but my two of my really dear friends that I've worked with so many years, and then they get to be back together to create such hilarious comedic magic. I mean, I'm so excited to work with all of these people from my past that I've just been able to, you know, put in this little show choir and call it a little family, even though, you know, we're employers and we are, you know, but that's the magic of theater. It's like, yes, they're theater, but we're also a family that's just trying to get through it. You know,
Gleequel, the sequel to Gleequel, and it's a parody.
It's a parody.
I'm going to keep reminding you.
Yeah, it's a parody.
If you're a fan of the TV show, then you'll recognize a lot, but it's not exactly the same.
Yeah.
Opens on Saturday, July 22nd, 4:30, an early time on that date. Wednesday the 26th at 6, Thursday the 27th at 6, Friday the 28th at 6, and Saturday the 29th at 6 o'clock p.m., all of the performances at the Arts Asylum, 824 East Meyer Boulevard. If you need to map quest things, you need the zip code, and that is 64131. You can go to theartsasylum.org, or you can go to caseyfringe.org, and maybe the Fringe would like you to make your arrangements that way. I don't know. Or you can go to Faust Theater on Facebook as well to learn more about it. Or you can just track down Zach and ask him questions as well. It is a parody, they're going to pick it up from where they left off.
Mm-hmm.
And the story continues. And from what Zach says, will continue. And in the future as well.
We'll
the
see.
Story.
If people hate this one and they're like, please don't bring this show back, I won't. Or I might, just to spite everybody. I might just do it.
That's true. Sometimes you have to do that. Sometimes you have to do that. We only have about a minute left. Anything you want to plug or work in before we make way for our Black Hills Babe? Which
Did
is
you ever
Culligan.
Watch Glee, Michael?
I think I saw it twice.
Just two episodes? Or
I was not in a Glee club in school.
Okay.
I fulfilled my one of my arts requirements in a ninth grade singing class.
Okay.
They didn't call it Glee Club, but I was in drama classes after that.
I love that.
So I just went on from there. So
Glee didn't touch your heart.
Didn't really see it that much. I remember the story. I did watch it, I think, after one of the actors passed away.
Yeah.
And we can't get into that. We don't have the time.
We don't have the time to unpack that, but yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, anyway.
So, but he lives in your show.
He lives in our show. Yeah. Yes, he does live on in our show.
That's great.
And the show is dedicated to him.
Okay. Again, Arts Asylum, 824 East Meyer Boulevard. Go to theartsasylum.org or go to kcfringe.org.
/Gleequel.
Or you can say that again.
/Gleequel.
/Gleequel. Or you can go to Faust Theater on Facebook. That's Ooh. What I looked at that last night as well. Thank you, Zach.
Thank you.
Zach Faust, the writer and director and the executive artistic director of Gleequel, going on the Kansas City Fringe Festival. It'll start July 22nd at the Arts Asylum, 824 East Meyer Boulevard. Thanks for coming by.
Thank you. Always a pleasure to talk
to
you.
Nice to talk to you. They're picking it up. Pretty much from where they left off.
We'll do it again next year. I'll contact you then.
Well, it took you 4 years.
I know.
Another four years,
we'll be back.
We'll see what happens to that. Thanks very much driving by. We're going to take a brief break here. Then when we return, hopefully we will have Beth Bird calling us from the Black Hills. There's a story there. I sort of know it. I'm projecting that I know it, but I might be wrong. All of that when we return. You're listening to the Arts Magazine radio program right here on KKFI. 90.1 FM.
Freeze Frame! Hi, I'm Russ Simmons with Freeze Frame, KKFI's weekly look at the newest cinematic fare in theaters and streaming. Relentless action, welcome nostalgia, and the irascible Harrison Ford energize the fifth and final installment of the blockbuster series Indiana Jones and the Dial of Destiny. Set in 1969, the story pits the aging anthropologist against a former Nazi out to exploit a device that could change history. While director James Mangold doesn't quite have the Spielberg touch, and the finale is outlandish, the story's final chapter is still a satisfying old-school popcorn movie adventure. The animated fantasy Ruby Gilman, Teenage Kraken, is squarely aimed at preteen girls. An awkward young sea creature tries to fit in as a human at a seaside high school. Fate has other plans when she inadvertently falls into the water and is forced to confront a malicious mermaid. It's a likable and colorful coming-of-age story that should appeal to its target demographic with an unsubtle message about reaching one's potential. With a title like Run, Rabbit, Run, you'd think that this Netflix horror entry from Down Under would have more energy. Sarah Snook of Succession fame stars as a woman whose young daughter begins to claim that she's actually her mom's late sister. Run, Rabbit, Run is intended to be a slow burn, but it's mostly slow and little burn. To close out Pride Month, Netflix offers the LGBTQ-friendly animated fantasy Nimona. A girl with shape-shifting abilities comes to the aid of a knight who's been wrongly accused of assassinating his kingdom's queen. A mix of sci-fi, fairy tale, and giant monster movie, Nimona is a bit too violent and sophisticated for young kids, but is a clever hybrid that poses intriguing questions about who is evil and who is a monster. Well, that's it for this edition of Freeze Frame. Until next time, I'm Russ Simmons with Fox 4 and KKFI-FM. Freeze Frame!
Would you like to host and produce a radio show? KKFI is looking for more volunteer programmers to join our team. We offer training, experience, and a diverse community of dedicated individuals who want to keep the airwaves free. If you are interested in becoming a volunteer programmer, please contact us via email at programming@kkfi.org.
KKFI is now posting new content every day to our Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter. So be sure to like and follow your community radio station on social media at KKFI 901 FM. And thanks for supporting this station since 1988.
Thank you very much, Philip, the governator, as we sometimes refer to him. Welcome back to the Arts Magazine Show, right here on KKFI 90.1 FM, your community radio station, right here in Kansas City. I'm Michael Hoag, your host. We're just going over some of the shows that will be coming up during the Fringe Festival coming soon next week. Hopefully a ton of people will come through here, but they won't have much time to talk. And the woman I'm about to introduce here, she's a good talker. She's a good talker. She's calling in today. Beth Bird is her name. She's calling in today from the Black Hills. So I referred to you earlier as our Black Hills babe for today.
I heard that.
I could be wrong, Beth, but weren't you married up there in North Dakota, somewhere like that?
We were married at one of these big family gatherings.
I see. And, that's what I thought.
Yeah.
And I remember you telling the story about the newlywed couple being short-sheeted. That stuck in my mind.
That's right. We were short-sheeted. It's family tradition.
It's a family tradition. Yes. All the families do that. Beth, of course, is one of Kansas City's clowns. Mime.
Yes.
When someone screws up on the radio and there's silence, and there's not supposed to be silence on the radio, sometimes they have been known to, in an impromptu way, say that 10 seconds sponsored by Kansas City Mime, Beth Bird.
I would love that.
Oh, it has happened. a few times for those who know how to do it. Beth is going to plug her show, and she's involved with so many shows. You're probably in more than one Fringe show, which is coming up.
No.
Just this
I'm
one?
I'm just focusing on mine this year because I get to, which is a luxury.
Yeah, it's called Mimes in a Pod. Now, is this true? Both of you were students of Marcel Marceau. I know you were.
Yes, that's where Dean Hatton and I met. I just want to ask real quick, can you hear me okay? Because I have you on speakerphone. Would it be better to go on regular or speaker okay?
For now, I can hear you just fine. So unless somebody screams, unless somebody from Richard's family screams at you, let's just do this way.
Well, they might. Anyway, so no, so yes. Dean Hatton and I met in 1993 in Gambier, Ohio, studying with Marcel Marceau at the Goldston and Johnson School for Mime. And we just hit it off because we both have this quirky sense of humor. And I brought him, I kind of lost track. I've been producing shows under Bird Productions since 1995, and I know I brought him to Kansas City or helped bring him here several times, and I just love his hard work ethic and his sense of humor. And what really had me want to bring him here is that he did this wonderful spoof of Shatner doing Lucy in the Sky with Diamonds.
Shatner actually recorded a song like that, didn't he?
That is the music that he performed, this really fun and funny faux serious mime piece to set to that song. And I just loved it. And one of the highlights of my life was entering the stage dressed as a tribble.
The trouble with tribbles, yes.
That's right. So, I mean, that's the kind of thing that's who I want to perform with.
Good. So you decided to get together and write this show together. Two mimes in a pod. That makes it sound like close quarters there.
Right. Well, it is how mimes are created.
Two at a time in pods. Okay.
Right. We're still trying to figure out how we're created. Honestly, I keep trying to teach classes, and anybody who's ever studied with me has gone on to other things, and they still use that training, you know, like in theater, film, illustration, dance, just about anything but mime. I'm like, come on. I'm trying to create other mimes. We don't know how they're created. It's a mystery.
You mentioned you and Dean taking the class, but, you know, you're also both students of Marcel, working with the Marcel Marceau. Had to have been, considering your interests at that time, probably still had the interest. Had to have been kind of overwhelming for you to perform right in front of Marceau.
So this is before people recorded everything. Boy, do I wish I had a recording, because he paid me a high compliment, and then I didn't hear anything else he said.
Oh
my gosh. You know, I was so nervous getting critiqued by him. We all performed our numbers that we worked really hard on, and then we performed them for him, and he actually used the word good. So his compliments go from good to not so bad to deadly silence, and you just walk away. And so when I heard, right,
I guess that meant not so good.
I heard the word good, and I'm like, I heard the word good. Very few, and people were like looking at me like, he said good. And then my ears just started ringing, and that's all I heard, because I was quite young at the time.
Did others tell you later what else he said?
No, not at all.
No.
It was 2 whole weeks with Marceau, which is a lot with someone like him. So we were there for 5 weeks. The first 3 weeks was in preparation, just to know how to watch him, just to know how to hear him and follow his, get his instruction, because he is the artist. It doesn't mean he's the greatest at teaching what he does all the time, or did, you know, he's passed. But it took several of his proteges, like Greg Goldston, Nick Johnson, Rick Waymer, Pam Chermansky. Those were the ones teaching at the school that year. And they whipped us into shape just so we would know how to watch him. And if you didn't take the first 3 weeks, you were kind of wasting your time. And so I'm glad I did all 5 weeks. And 5 weeks of mime boot camp is just exhausting, but it was also great, and I would do it all over again if it occurred again.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
Yeah, well, and as you gather from what Beth says, and that appearance they show of him in reruns on when the antenna TV has the Johnny Carson show, and they often will rerun it. They have an episode of him where he actually talked with Johnny about some of the things I'm asking you about, and actually got up and performed for the audience. So he does speak.
but not during
the performance, of course. And I believe Johnny, I could be wrong about this, but I don't think so. Johnny Carson asked him, you'll find some people who are doing mime who actually mime a word. And I guess, didn't you tell me one time that was pretty much verboten by him? You just don't do anything like that. Like if you hit the hammer on your thumb, you don't say a word with your mouth without saying it. You don't move your mouth.
Right.
You don't
say the word. Now the thing of it is, it's not like there's any hard set rules. The fact that people, so we'll play off of that. There'll be times where we'll, like, I think Dean has a number where he hits his foot really hard and he covers his mouth so the audience doesn't see him say a word.
Uh-huh.
So that's funny, because it's referring to how mimes aren't supposed to speak. So that's where we're spoofing ourselves. You got to have a sense of humor about the art form and yourself, I think. because I do think Americans have this idea that there's a hard set rules about mime, and they all, I also think, if I may, they a lot of folks will treat us like we're not actually a person. Like they said all these, oh, mimes aren't supposed to make any sound. They're not supposed to breathe. Good golly, you know, and they're not supposed to have vocal cords. I was performing at the Renaissance Festival last year, and this kid just kept interrupting me with all of these rules that this kid had in his mind. I'm like, we're human beings that are performing the art form of mime, like a human being performing the art form of dance or music or any other art form. And so, anyway, just, sorry, on a rant there.
No. That I was considering a question or two about that. But, you know, time is precious here because you have a lot that you need to talk about. You and Dean are doing shows beginning, if I have any of these dates wrong, you jump in and correct me, Friday the 21st of July, 6 o'clock p.m. Then Saturday the 22nd on Saturday, 7:30 p.m. Then Wednesday the 26th, 6 o'clock p.m. Friday the 28th at 6 o'clock p.m. And then Saturday the 29th, 9 o'clock p.m. at the Center for Spiritual Living, 1014 West 39th Street. Sounds like it's not too far from where I am right now. West 39th Street, Kansas City, Missouri, 64111. Which side of the street? The north side or the south side?
North side.
Okay, on the north side there.
North side.
So that'll give you some perspective. Yeah. If any of you remember the old Fool Killer, that was right at the corner of 39th and Main, but you're like a little over a block up from there. Or I should say west up there.
Yes, I know. Yes, up the street from you, west. And yes, I'm very lucky to have that location because 39th Street is my old stomping ground. It's still my where my heart is. I worked at Frickin' Frack forever. you know, I still, when I'm just going, you know, hanging around, I'm usually hanging around on 39th Street. And I'm really glad to be there because it's all this, also this wonderful restaurant row. So I really think people should grab a bite to eat wherever that might be, Frickin' Frack. And or go up the street to a bar, wherever that might be, Missy B's. And come and enjoy the show.
Beth doesn't plug things at all.
Listen to the radio station that's just up the street, KKFI. So I just think that's where my home is, and I'm very lucky to be there. And I'm also really lucky to be in a space. All the other shows in that space are amazing, but all the shows are amazing in the Kansas City Fringe. So you could either make a night of it by staying at one location and seeing several shows at that location, or you could work it and go, I really want to see this show in circles and plan and go to those spaces because yeah, that previous show sounds wonderful. And Arts Asylum is a wonderful space. And, you know, that's the thing. People in Kansas City, it's the 19th annual, and there's still so many people that don't know what the Kansas City Fringe, FRINGE.org festival is about, but it really has always taken over the city. It's constantly changing locations because that's the way it is. The fringe festivals, wherever they are on the fringe, and they get the spaces that work with them, and we're lucky to have the festival going this long. So
I just
want to say that.
There's just a wealth of material that you two could do. I'm sure there is a large wealth of material. How are you able to cut down, I suppose the two of you decided between the two of you, what you would do for the show and what you would show
the
audience?
That's, yes, you hit it, Mike. I did. Thank you. That is, so we have so much material. We have done shows together. And we're at the point where we have a completely new lineup from the last time we did a show called You Can't Do That. We called it You Can't Do That in a Mime Show. And, you know, and he's also been here for the Fringe Festival several times with another partner, Kirsten Stevens. And we usually do a workshop. The reason why we're not doing a workshop this year is because the Fringe Festival is starting so much earlier on that final Saturday, and it's about the festival, not about us. You know, we'd like to do a squeeze a workshop in, but what I can probably do if people want a workshop from us, bring Dean back to Kansas City. So we're going to have a sign-up sheet. So if people are like, hey, we'd love a workshop, then we'll bring him back in. And we are looking for a location for a workshop, Arts Asylum. Anyway, we're hoping to find a good place to do workshops.
Well, there some of them are probably listening. So.
So what I'm looking at for the remainder of my career is I did create the water I wanted to swim in, and I wanted to get back in and swim, which means perform while I still physically can. And so I'm performing a lot. I'm doing the Fringe Festival this year. I'm doing the Kansas City Renaissance Festival. I'm working with the wonderful playwright Victor Wishna on a project to be performed hopefully at the White Theater, the Jewish Community Center. Hopefully, we're working on that.
That's a big room. That's a big room. If it has anything to do with clowning or miming, that's a big room. And some of the people are far away. How do you engage some of the people that are not? I would think clowning and miming both would involve being close up.
You're asking the same kind of questions people are asking us when it comes to putting it together. And what I want to say is the story is a huge story because it's about Marcel Marceau. It is specifically about sorry guys, we're now onto the project that we're working on. We'll come back to the Fringe Festival. So the project that we're hoping to do May 5th at the Jewish Community Center, we're still working on it, is about Marcel Marceau's activities during the French Resistance. And how he saved over 70 children, 70 lives that year, 70 children lives. I'm just clamped, sorry. It's an emotional story, and it is hard to get my head around, but he saved a lot of children's lives, and he also had some other great things that happened, like a platoon, a German platoon surrendered to him and a friend of his toward the end. And then, unfortunately, he lost his father at Auschwitz. There's a whole story about how they fled from Germany to France. So it's a big story that deserves a big space, and mime can handle a big space. When I studied with Marceau, he was only performing in big spaces, and we only performed in big spaces. We got to perform in a wonderful theater in Gambier, Ohio, that was designed by Joanne Woodward and her husband. What was his name?
Paul Newman.
Paul Newman. And so talk about a well-designed theater. And I've been very lucky to have worked with great tech people throughout my life. And they get, by the way, when it comes to getting funding for this, I basically go around and perform a little bit of mime for them. And they're like, oh, yeah, you're right. We need the bigger theater. We need a bigger boat. And so, yeah, it's a big story.
Yeah, you know the story you told. The story you told about him and the resistance. That should be a film. I'm surprised no one's done that before.
It is a film. It's actually called Resistance.
Oh, okay.
And it only covers one small part of it. It covers the part where he's working with the children in the underground/orphanage because of all the children who lost their parents and needed to be rehoused, rehomed into places that would take care of them. And change their last name and claim them as their own.
Sure. Sure. We're speaking with Beth Bird, Kansas City clown, mime, all around fun gal. And she will be performing along with Dean Hatton in the show Two Mimes in a Pod. And you'll catch on to that as the show goes on. They were both students of Marcel Marceau. And the show is about that. And they'll be performing various things they learned with Marceau and developed themselves over the years as well. Shows will begin on Friday the 21st, Saturday the 22nd, Wednesday the 26th, Friday the 28th, Saturday the 29th, all at different times at the Center for Spiritual Living, 1014 West 39th Street, Kansas City, Missouri. MapQuest at, you need the zip code 64111, and you can go online to kcfringe.org to learn all about it. You know, it's the kind of thing, Beth, where the more I hear you tell stories about some of your experiences, the more it kind of connects with people, I think. So you should continue to do that, I think.
Oh, thank you. Can I talk a little bit more about Dean Hatton?
Sure. Yeah, we got a couple of minutes here.
I just want to say Dean Hatton has studied with Marceau many more times than I have, and had a more personal connection. And we're going to take about the last 10 minutes of our show to answer any questions. I've also been interviewing people about Marcel Marceau to work on this other project coming up, hopefully in May. And so we can please ask a mime a question, you know, if you have questions, please ask them. That's what we're going to do for the last 10 minutes, because the opportunity to talk about Marceau to where people even know who he was, I don't want that to go away.
Yeah.
You know, yeah. I don't want that to go away. We are like direct descendants, if you will. We can bring that story forward. And it's important to bring his whole story forward, and also how personal and personable and wonderful he was. We also study with people like Carrie Margolis, Stefan Nikowski, a bunch of people. You're like, who? But I know Dean and I have a similar passion for poignant stories, and as well as humor. So choosing the numbers to do for this show was not that easy, and we might still change it at the last minute, but it's going to have that arc of here's our world, here's some lighter pieces, here's some funny stuff, and here's some very serious stuff, because only mime goes beyond words like mime does.
Mm-hmm. Well, it does go beyond words. That's a part of the story of it, of course. So this will be, you can learn about Marceau, you can see them do some of these pieces as well, and you'll have a chance at the end, as Beth said, to ask questions about their experiences with Marceau, and you don't want that to get away. He in repeats, Johnny Carson, I believe the Ed Sullivan program, they show repeats of that as well. And other shows as well give you a chance to actually see the man perform. But the next best thing is seeing someone do what they learned from him. And this will happen during Fringe Week at the Center for Spiritual Living, 1014 West 39th Street. Again, Friday the 21st, 6 o'clock. Saturday the 22nd, 7:30. Wednesday the 26th, 6 o'clock. Friday the 28th, 6 o'clock. And then they're going to go late. They're going to go late at night. It might be a little it might be a little more adult, I'm going to guess. Saturday the 29th at 9 o'clock p.m. at the Center for Spiritual Living, 1014 West 39th Street. Not all that far from where we are here at KKFI. Go online to see the exact schedules, if I've talked too fast, kcfringe.org. Can they also go to Bird Productions page?
Right. Yes, my website's up to date. So birdproductions.org. But just like you could do the kcfringe.org/2mimes in a pod. And there's also so much on their website right now, a whole bunch of promo videos. There's just so much more to the festival. There's preview events coming up that we're participating in, and late night events happening that we'll probably participate in. And so it takes over the whole city. But if you want to fill your brain and your heart with art, go to the festival.
Okay. Well, thank you very much, Beth, for telling us all about it. Thank Dean as well for coming back to Kansas City. We look forward to the presentation coming up. It's not all that far away. This is July 3rd, so you're not all that far away, Beth. But, of course, you could probably perform with him at the drop of a hat if you had to. So, but you probably want to do some rehearsal as well and all that.
Yeah.
Have a safe trip back to Kansas City. Enjoy yourself in the Black Hills.
Thank you.
You're very far from the Custer site up there?
We're actually, I'm on Devil's Lake. See, we pretty much, you can see Canada from here. Canada.
Well, you're probably way up there. Thank you very much, Beth.
Thank you.
Welcome back to town when you can. Beth Bird, Kansas City Clan, mime, and if someone has a long pause, it's in honor of Beth Bird. Let's keep it that way. Thanks so much, Beth. Talk to you soon.
Thank you. Right, thank you. See you soon.
Okay, bye-bye. Beth Bird, K. Kansas City clown, mime, a student of Marcel Marceau, as well as Dean Hatton, who she'll be performing with during the Kansas City Fringe Festival. The Jazz Canadian is not here today. He is absent without leave. No, he's with leave. Someone will be filling in for him, but things won't change at all. There'll be jazz from 1 to 3. There'll be the blues from 3 to 6 right here on your community radio station, 90.1 FM KKFI, Kansas City's community radio. So until next we meet, ladies and gentlemen, at that crossing the road, I'm Michael Hogue. We'll see you next time.